Hour number two of the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. We are breaking down my post that went viral last night. I believe the Atlanta Falcons will win at least 10 games this season. Agree or disagree? Hit me up at C Thomas Radio to go cast your vote. Do you agree or do you disagree? We're also taking your calls at 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929 if you'd like to weigh in. I think they're going to win 10 games, folks. With what I saw from that defense, wow, that was impressive. That looked like a completely different unit and system, and it is, literally and figuratively. And Jeff Ulbrich, that was impressive. Kudos to you. Golf clap. Preseason, so we don't give you a full clap just yet. We'll see what happens week one versus Tampa. But I'll give you a golf clap for that, my friend. That was well done and certainly has me excited. If the firepower of the offense is going to be there, combined with that swarming style of defense, the Atlanta Falcons are going to be a good football team, folks. And 10 wins is absolutely on the table. We'll see what Big O's thinking after this one, because we have five Falcons true-false questions coming up. Bless you, Warren. Oh, my goodness.
I had to work that one out. Oh, my gosh. That one didn't want to come out easy.
Look into the light. Look into the light.
There we go. All right. After that sneeze. Yeah, Friday, first preseason game. Titans are in town. By the way, the Titans, Mike Conte said the Titans, they basically flew here after their preseason game versus Tampa. So they had joint practices with Tampa, spent time in Tampa, played in Tampa. Now they're here in Atlanta. So those guys have not been at home for a very long time.
Which is interesting because it's all kind of in the same area?
Area, yeah. Like you're not far from Nashville.
There was no cross-country flights there. Like, they could have made it back home from Tampa in what,
that's probably the reason why you do the team scrimmages, the team practices, mixed team practices, because it's teams from your area. So it's usually Miami, it's Tampa. I mean, it's teams that you are – generally in the same area with
Callahan out there trying to be too smart with this one. What is he? What is he doing?
I don't know, but it makes for, I would say, probably a very maybe a bit ornery, the Tennessee Titans coming in this weekend, because they have not been at home. They've been on the road, living out of hotels for the past week and change.
You know what I say to that? Bring it.
Bring it indeed.
Bring it.
Bring it indeed. All right. We're going to start with the guy that Dukes and Bell talked to today. We're going to hear from him later. DeMarco Helms had a big, big hit. Was penalized for it.
Shouldn't have been penalized for it.
It was a clean hit. Led with the shoulder. Head was up. All that good stuff. But true or false, DeMarco's going to be a rotational guy at safety for the Falcons this year. True or false?
Yeah, true. That's what it sounds like. I asked Joe Patrick about it last segment. He says that they have like a quote-unquote plan for Helms to be a member of the defensive backfield rotation. So that's what I think he's going to do. He's kind of going to be like the designated pass rusher of the secondary, if that makes sense.
I like that.
That's what it feels like to me. So I think he's going to excel at it. And I still think the main two guys are going to be Xavier Watts and Jesse Bates.
Okay. Second question here. Easton Stick performed admirably on Friday night.
I think better than that. I think he was pretty good.
And with Kirk and with Penix there, you've got three quarterback spots situated. Emory Jones is going to be the odd man out at quarterback. True or false?
Yeah, true. I mean, he's got like a – like if you like build a player in Madden, he's got like all the attributes you would want. Size, strength, speed, athleticism, can chuck it. But Easton Stick is a legit, like, perfect backup for Penix this year. Like, if Easton Stick had to start a game, I'd feel okay about it. If Emory Jones had to start a game, I don't know about that. I think he could definitely make some plays like you saw. But Easton Stick was, like, working the offense up and down the field and made really good decisions and made really good throws. And Orin, I didn't realize this. He's 29. Like, this is not a spring chicken.
No, he's been around for a while. Yeah,
he's a guy that's, you know,
he's been in the league for a minute.
I would trust him to start a game at this point if he had to. I'm not saying five games. I'm saying if he had to start before the turtle, what do you mean? Easton Stinger. No. One game. I'm saying just if one. He had to start a game, I would be okay with it. Easton Stick definitely gets that spot for me.
All right, so I got four wide receiver names that I think are going to be the first four wide receivers on this team. So Drake, Kadarius Hodge, Ray-Ray McCloud, and Darnell Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Falcons take six or seven wide receivers.
I think six.
Six. At seven, least two I think open would be, spots. Yeah. So I'm going to read off some names for you, and I'm going to say makes the team, true or false. So let's start with this guy. Nick Nash, rookie undrafted wide receiver. Nick Nash makes this team, true or false?
False.
David Seals V makes this team, true or false?
True.
Casey Washington makes this team, true or false?
True.
And the last one, this guy caught a touchdown pass on Friday night. Chris Blair makes the team, true or false?
I think he's unfortunately going to be the odd man out. Although I like him. Yeah. And he saw a little action at the end of last year, and he did pretty well.
He did.
But apparently, according to Joe, like Casey Washington's like with the starters already.
He's been the dude, yeah. And then if you're that fifth or that sixth guy, you got to be able to play teams.
And then don't forget, there's another – I mean, he's lower, and he's probably in last place. But Dylan Drummond had, what, eight catches in that game?
Yeah, he did. Underneath, I mean,
he was good. They have a good – that's a good problem to have, as they say. They got a lot of guys who are going to be capable, and they'll have a stacked practice squad if any injuries happen this year to any of the starters. But I'm going to say it's Washington and Sills are 5 and 6 on the depth chart.
All right, sir. True or false? I kind of gave you one half of this question last week, and your answer was they better. The second half of this question, in regards to the offensive line, true or false, this backup offensive line that the Falcons played on Friday makes you a little bit nervous.
Yeah. I mean, they were awful. I mean, I know Joe tried to, you know, spruce it up a little bit by saying
they didn't play well.
They played awful. They had 11 carries for 22 yards.
Did not run the football well at all.
Awful. They were better throwing it, but no. That they brought in some depth at center. There's some depth at tackle. I mean, Storm Norton wasn't out there, so maybe it looks better if he's out there.
You answered the question last week when I asked the Falcons starting five offensive linemen that you read all the way across. They need to play at least 15, 16 games, and your answer was they better.
Yeah, they better.
They
and
better.
And after seeing that Pap on Friday,
they're extremely better.
It's not only that they better, they have to. Otherwise, there's going to be some serious issues. Most of those guys are durable, though. I'm not worried, to quote Trae Young. I'm not worried.
I'm not worried. Last question here. Falcons forced a couple turnovers Friday's game. True or false, this Falcons defense is going to average on the season at least one turnover every two games.
Feels like it. I'm going to go true. Why not? After what we saw, you got guys like Helms that could get the ball out. We know Jesse Bates has a knack for catching passes from the other team. I think the defensive line is going to be much improved. They're going to hurry the quarterback much more often, and that'll lead to more errant throws. So just do the math. You know how they say the math ain't mathin'? The math is mathin' on this one, Orin. Look at the numbers, and I think they're going to be very high on the chart in terms of turnovers and turnover creation at the end of the year. Good stuff there in a Falcons true and false. Me too, man. Wrapping up the end to the preseason game number one, and we are looking ahead to what's going to happen over these next couple of days with the joint practices taking place up at Flowery Branch. When we get back, let's get a Titans perspective on this whole thing. Rhett Bryan of the Titans Radio Network is going to stop by. What does he think about Cam Ward, and what type of defense are the Falcons going to be seeing tomorrow and Wednesday at the Branch? We'll do that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Those all-important joint practices with the Titans get underway tomorrow at Flowery Branch, and then the game is Friday night. And to break that all down on Chris Thomas tonight, with you till 10 o'clock. It is Rhett Bryan of the Titans Radio Network. Rhett, appreciate you hopping on. Obvious place to start here is the team is coming in with the number one overall pick. How has Cam Ward adjusted to that role, and how has he looked so far at camp?
Well, Chris, thanks for having me on. He is one of those guys that, with his journey to the NFL, the moment does not seem too big for him. And his work ethic, which had certainly been talked about and documented, and we will see more about when the series Zero Star comes out here in a few weeks on Tubi TV, an entire docuseries about him. I think people will understand a little more. I'll give you just a personal example. He's one of the most competitive people I've ever been around, just in a couple of things I've noticed on and off the field and things I've been a part of. But we went to Raymond James Stadium Saturday afternoon to set up our booth for the broadcast, and Central Time, it was 12:40, 20 minutes to 1. He was on our bus with the equipment staff preparing for that ball game that night. Now, he wasn't out there working the entire time, but he said when he was at the University of Miami last year and they had a lot of night games, he'd like to go in early, just get his mind right and come out and warm up and get things rolling. And, you know, in the game the other night, there was a three and out pretty quickly, and then he was allowed to come out and with the ones and have a drive and did really nicely. I mean, he had three completions to Calvin Ridley for 50 yards. I think he was 5 of 6 for 67. No touchdowns, no picks, but it was a very efficient drive that ended up in a Tony Pollard touchdown run. But the young man's very impressive. He's wise and mature beyond his years. And, you know, look, is it going to be an overnight success? I don't know about that. He's going to have bumps in the road. He's going to have things that are going to show that he's a rookie. But, again, it just doesn't seem like the moment's too big for him.
A lot of interesting parts around him on the offense, a lot of young talent, but some vets as well, guys that we're familiar with here in Atlanta. Calvin Ridley, you mentioned Van Jefferson. What is the offense around Cam Ward?
I think they're trying to just figure out what all that looks like, because the thing that the Titans is going to be evident when the regular season comes is just how young this team is, how much turnover has happened, and the depth or lack thereof in several skill position sets. And you talked about some of the wide receiving core. I mean, Calvin Ridley is wide receiver one. I think they're trying to figure out who wide receiver number two is. It could be Van Jefferson, or it could be one of the two rookies they drafted in Elikai Emanuor from Stanford, the fifth-round pick, or Chimere Dike from Florida, the fourth-round pick. I can guarantee you that rookie tight end Gunnar Helm from Texas is going to be a pretty significant part of that offense with his frame at nearly 6'5 and a huge wingspan and catch radius. They have a plan for him in the red zone, without a doubt. They had a two-back approach with Tony Pollard and the third-year man Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears has a high ankle sprain and left that ball game Saturday night in Tampa and will be out for a while. But there's been a battle for the third running back spot between Julius Chestnut, who's been on the squad for 2-3 years now out of Sacred Heart, but the guy that was their last draft pick in this class of nine back in the spring, Kalel Mullings. 6'3", 238, big running back from Michigan, converted linebacker that played for the national championship Wolverines a couple of years ago. So, you know, they've got stuff there. Honestly, depending on what they keep with receivers, if they keep six, then you've got a logjam of guys trying to fight for one or two spots. If they keep seven, just one spot. And I don't know if Xavier Restrepo is in that mix. His main target at Miami last year. But they're trying to figure all these things out. Chika Conquo is tight end number one. He's into contract year, fourth year there. But Gunnar Helm is really on his heels to be maybe tight end one by the time the season's done. He's really fast-tracking it so far.
How do you feel that Coach Callahan has done with all this transition that you mentioned?
I think 2024 was a serious learning experience for him. You know, he has a club that wins three ball games and basically by that earns the number one overall pick. But he, in meetings I've had with him, he sat down with everyone involved through multiple meetings over the first part of the offseason to discover and explore what works and what didn't. And, you know, it's easy to say what your goals are. It's harder to put plans into action, but he wanted to see what the best courses of action were and the learning moments and takeaways that they could make actionable and put into place, you know, to try to get this thing better. And so Brian Callahan, I think, in my opinion, is perfect for this whole Cam Ward experiment being the first overall pick, just because he has experience with that in his time, his 5 years he was with the Bengals when they took Joe Burrow number one overall, and that seemed to work out well for them. So he's got some learning moments and takeaways from there. He has access to all of those audio files and meetings and things that he had with Burrow his rookie year that he can glean from and apply maybe some things he learned that are mistakes and things to correct. But he's got a lot on his plate. Mike McCoy comes in as a veteran assistant to help him take some of that stuff off of his plate. And then he hires John Bones Fossil to run the special teams phase of things, one of the best in the game to do it. And he's trying to figure out who the gunners are and who the returners are and the personal protector for the punter. But he's surrounded himself with a lot of change there, and I think he's focused on the right elements of this. And Cam Ward is the centerpiece of all this.
Talking with Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio Network here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock. On the other side of the ball, what is Michael Penix Jr. looking at tomorrow and Wednesday? Obviously, we know, led by Big Jeffrey Simmons, a couple of other names that we know, Sebastian Joseph Day, Arden Key, those are familiar names to NFL fans. But how has the defense looked so far?
It's, you know, first of all, when you're talking about training camp and when the shoulder pads and the pads come on, it's been, I think it's pretty much undefeated that the defense always has the upper hand on the offense in those first several days of padded practices and camp. And that's kind of what it has been in Titans training camp prior to their trip to Tampa and now to Atlanta. You mentioned Jeffrey Simmons. They drafted Tavondre Sweat last year out of Texas, who had a very solid rookie year that he's trying to build off of. And Arden Key wants to be more than just a situational pass rusher, which has really kind of defined his career so far. I think he had 6.5 sacks for the Titans last year. But one of the acquisitions that they brought in, first of all, a waiver wire pickup that they brought in just 2.5-3 weeks ago is Jahad Ward, who is a veteran presence. But signing Draymond Jones from the Seattle Seahawks on a one-year deal is going to prove to be very valuable. He was very active the other night in the limited reps that he got. I think the big thing is, do Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat play? And does some of the other gentlemen we mentioned play? But the other part of it is, for what Michael Penix Jr. will see across from him, is what is the depth of the interior defensive line past those names? Because they're still trying to find out who is the best rotational people in that. They released Keandre Coburn after about a handful of days in camp, who's a veteran presence. They could eventually end up re-signing again, but they've got a bunch of undrafted guys that they're trying to figure out what to do with. Cam Horsley from Boston College is an undrafted guy who had a really nice career for them, and Isaiah Rakes is a guy that had several tackles the other night, who's an undrafted fella. But the depth is where we're at with this Titans team, but it's in particular with what Michael Penix Jr. and that Falcons offensive line will see Friday night.
It's been a sight for sore eyes here at Falcons camp at Flowery Branch, Rhett, that the Falcons, particularly on defense, they're getting after it in a way that they have not in previous years. There's a newfound life, a newfound energy, a newfound spark. There have been fights at training camp, which is not a staple of an Atlanta Falcons team, at least not of recent vintage. What type of energy are the Titans bringing? Are they young and hungry? Or are they ready to get after it?
They are definitely that. They're definitely young, they're definitely hungry, and they're ready to get after it. There was a couple of skirmishes in the joint practice they had with Tampa last week, and Jeffrey Simmons was right in the middle of all of that. You're right about Atlanta, though. You'd know this better than I would. They've tried to make a run at a pass rusher, seems like every draft for I don't know how long, and, you know, had some success in some spots in between. You know, they've been looking for that, and you can tell they've drafted well, that Terry Fontenot has really put together some nice classes for that. So I know this Titans offensive line has its hands full, and that's something that has been a point of emphasis that really needed some drastic improvement. They bring in Dan Moore Jr., the veteran who's only 26, but it was a starter in all but two games for the Pittsburgh Steelers at left tackle. That allowed them to bump and move last year's top pick, J.C. Latham, to right tackle, his more natural position. They bring in a veteran, Kevin Zeitler, to plug in at right guard. Lloyd Cushenberry passed his physical today, is off of the PUP list. And then Peter Skoronski, who they drafted a couple of years ago, is getting better as we speak. So they're trying to protect that investment of Cam Ward. And I would not be surprised if they, when they lock horns tomorrow morning in Flowery Branch, that there's a couple of fist fights involved. Because it's part of it is just teams get to this point in the preseason, they're tired of hitting the same color jerseys, and they're anxious to get after somebody else in a different one. But I've been reading about the Falcons, and there are some things that I'm reading there that have not been characteristic of Falcon teams in the last handful of years.
Well, and it is a welcome sight, I'll tell you that, Rhett. Before I let you go, an off-the-wall question here, but you sparked my brain here when you mentioned the need for pass rushers and trying all sorts of different ways to acquire one here in Atlanta. We finally did the thing that we never do. And what that is, Rhett, is take a guy who is a proven commodity from a college down the road that's had some pretty good success of late. For whatever reason, the Falcons have been allergic to drafting high-potential, high-profile Georgia Bulldogs, whether it hasn't worked out for one reason or another or otherwise, but they finally did it this year in drafting Jalen Walker. Is there a similar sentiment with Titans fans in terms of UT, in terms of getting players from Tennessee? Is that something that matters to Titans fans? Because it was a bone of contention here in Georgia for the longest time.
Well, let me say this. Jalen Walker, I don't have to tell you where you are, but Jalen Walker is one of a couple of three guys that would pin their ears back and go get the opposing quarterback for the Bulldogs and did a nice job of it. In terms of this, it's always – there's a large percentage of college fan base here is the University of Tennessee. So anytime they draft or bring in a volunteer, it's always met with, a warm reception. It just depends on kind of how things fall into place. It's not always just draw a line to the geographic team up the road. As you well know, they just put together these draft boards and look at the best guy available in the pod of players as rounds and picks fly off the board. I think there are a lot of Titans fans that would have loved to have the chance to have James Pierce Jr., the former Vol that was a high draft pick this year. But I think the Titans brass saw what they needed more was a quarterback, and they've saddled themselves to Cam Ward. And listen, with everything so far, I think that could prove to be a lot of fun. They just got to build things up around them.
All right, Rhett, appreciate the time. We'll be hearing you on the broadcast and checking you out with the rest of the media crew at Flowery Branch this week. Thanks for popping on.
All right, man. Have a good show. Appreciate
you. Thanks, Rhett. That is Rhett Bryan of the Titans Radio Network. When we get back, you're going to hear from one of the players we've been talking about a lot today. That is DeMarco Helms. He joined our boys, Dukes and Bell. We'll also let you hear some of what went down after practice today at Flowery Branch. So all Falcons conversation coming up to close out the 7 o'clock hour next. I don't think the guy we're about to hear from, DeMarco Helms, has any chance of being cut. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10. But a reminder that cutdown day is what every pro football player dreads. But this year, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is celebrating cutdown day by giving you a chance to cut down your yard in style. On August 27th at 4 p.m., when the pro football cut deadline hits, we'll be giving one lucky listener a Rolux Reel mower. It's a chance to win the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules and to enter, simply visit 929thegame.com. We are going to hear from DeMarco Helms in just a minute, but Arnold Ebiketie also had a chance to speak after practice today, and I thought he had some really good insight into his game on Friday and the state of his career. This is a big year for him. He's been kind of stuck around that six sack mark, high draft pick, maybe expecting a little more from him. He was talking about how good it felt to get that big sack on Friday night at the Benz.
That's definitely what I hope the season will look like through and throughout. So it's exciting, you know, bring the quarterback down and just get familiar with that, and that becomes the expectation moving forward. So it felt good.
Yeah, and it was I don't know. I was a little surprised to see him out there, honestly, because I think he's definitely considered a starter for the defense. So there was a couple of guys that played that I was interested to see. I wonder why or what they wanted to see from him, but it worked because he got a sack. And he was also talking about how just mentally he's been feeling a lot more comfortable.
Yes and no. I feel like physically is more so the same, but mentally I kind of like I'm in a different space. I feel more comfortable, and I know who I am, and I know what I bring to the table. So it's just a matter of me going out there and just pulling myself right.
Yeah, I mean, he finished the season really strong last year. He was one of the better players. He was racking up sacks at the end of the season and got him to a career high, I believe, of 6.5. And he's going to need to build on that again, along with his running mates Leonard Floyd and James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker and the rest of the guys that are going to be out there on the edge with him. And he said just that. He said he found some success so far, but he needs to be more consistent.
Experience being in the league for some times, and I mean, had a little bit of success here and there, and you kind of feel more confident about yourself. So it's like it's just a matter of going out there and being consistent, doing it day in and day out.
This next one is funny. He was talking about the going against somebody else in a different colored jersey and just how good that felt.
Yeah, you know, so far we went against each other for the majority of the camp. So going against a different team, I always feel good, you know, just kind of let out some of that frustration and whoop some ass, kind of.
Hey, man, you know what? I like it. I want to hear it. Good, AK. Let me see a little bit more of that personality. He's one of those guys, you can see him from a mile away. He looks the part. He's got a great smile, great attitude. And hopefully this is a year where he becomes one of the best pass rushers in the league. I think he has a chance to do it, finally having some talent around him. One more before we let you hear from DeMarco Helms. This attacking style front, Joe Patrick talked about that as well. It seems to be a really big part of the defensive plan.
You know, with an attack front, it's more so just lose your mind, kind of. play fast with your mind on fire, which I really do like this style. So,
yeah, and it sounds like everybody's taken to it, and it certainly looked like it on Friday night. I mean, again, if you hadn't seen much game tape, you can just search it on Twitter. It'll pop right up. They were flying. They really were. I'm not just saying that. That was so awesome to see. Everybody rushing towards the ball. Everybody looking to put a hat on a hat and really playing together as a defense in terms of knowing their assignments and making things happen on and off the ball. Everybody knew what to do, and it looked really good. And the next guy that we're about to hear from was definitely at the center of it. He was right in forefront at the beginning, made the biggest hit of the game with the boomstick drop. Legal hit, by the way. That was DeMarco Helms, and he joined Dukes and Bell today.
Watch out, Mike. He might knock you out.
Man, this guy was dropping bombs on people on Friday.
I mean, this dude brings the helmet. We're talking with DeMarco Helms. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great game the other night. It's funny because your teammates talk about you always being physical and having the physicality. I think fans got a chance to see that. For those who don't know, DeMarco had a great 23 season, got hurt coming off the injury, man. What's it been like?
It's been great. You know, there was obviously a mental and a physical challenge, you know, just being off for a year. But just being back on the field on Friday, it was a great feeling for me just to be out there playing the game that I love again. Being able to, you know, compete with my teammates and, you know, overall just having a, you know, a healthy game and, you know, making it a step further than I did last year.
As Carl mentioned, we were high on you, man, at 23 and then having the injury. Do you feel like you got a lot more to prove? You're playing with a chip this year?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm somebody that's, you know, I'm my biggest critic. So I always feel like I have room to improve. But, you know, just taking a whole year off last year, I felt like, you know, that was a, you know, opportunity for me to come back in 2025 and, you know, just be, you know, a different player, you know, a better player than I was, you know, my rookie year.
How hard was the rehab, man? I mean, like, you didn't think it was a season-ending injury, right? I mean, you thought, okay, I'll be back in a few weeks, then it turns into that. That's got to be mentally tough.
Yeah, it's definitely you know, a mental hurdle to get over with. It's, you know, when you have an injury that you think is severe and then, you know, you hear the news that, you know, it's not as severe, but as you go through the rehab process and, the physical training process of getting back to play, you know, a NFL season, you know, it can go, you know, see little moments of adversity and things like that. So it was definitely tough, but I feel like, you know, my circle of family and friends and, you know, the training staff did a great job of, you know, getting me to the moment where I am now.
Third year safety for the Falcons, DeMarco Helms with us on Dukes and Bell with a huge hit, perfectly legal, by the way.
Legal.
Not going to get you in trouble. We'll do the talking on this. Get out of your pocket. But how tough is it as a guy that likes to lay the lumber? You got, like, the strike zones now. It's got to be so careful out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, you're conscious of, you know, as you approach the game and, you know, as you go through the game. But play by play, it's not something that I think about. You know, I just try to play the game safe, you know, keep my head out of the game, make sure I'm obeying, you know, the strike zones and things like that. But, you know, I think it's kind of, you know, it can kind of hurt your game if you're, you know, so concerned about, you know, protecting somebody that's your opponent, if you get what I mean. So, you know, I try not to worry about protecting my opponent, but, you know, just playing the game the right way.
Now, you laid out Ray Ray out here, right? Is that a true story?
that's my guy. That's my teammate. You know, I'm gonna leave that in the past.
All right. But I mean, he was just trying to play the game. I mean, it wasn't personal.
No, nothing's personal. Nothing's personal.
I only say that to say coach has talked about, you know, this is who you are. It's hard to lay off, even when you're practicing against guys who you care about and are your teammates. You can't take that out of yourself, right? That's just who you are.
Yeah, it's I think it's something that, you know, my dad ingrained in me. You know, since I played, you know, little league football, is, you know, to never let a coach, you know, have to turn you up, you know. If anything, you know, let him have to turn you down. Just coming out there every day, you know, just being more, you know, being more physical. I feel like, you know, that's a big part of the game, is because, you know, being more physical is obviously, you know, something that'll help you in the game. But, you know, you're more physical than your opponent. You know, it definitely takes a toll on them mentally as well. So that's just, you know, something, you know, the way that I was brought up, you know, with my dad and, you know, as him as being a football coach. So it's something that I've just carried with me, you know, through my football career.
Turn up! It's DeMarco Helms with his guys live on Dukes and Bell from Falcons camp. It was Ryan Nielsen a couple years back, late last year, and now you got Jeff Ulbrich. Anything different to how you approach it, what they're asking you to do?
I approach every day doing everything they ask me to do. You know, I feel like, you know, Brick and, you know, try to, you know, ingrain some things that we did well last year, some things that the Jets did well in their defense, and, you know, when everything is just coming together perfectly. So, you know, I feel like it's a good matchup and it's a good mesh for us as well.
What's the safety competition like, man? I mean, you got some dudes back there, right? I mean, they drafted Billy. Obviously, you know, Bates is back there. Watts. What's the camaraderie with the group, and how competitive is it?
It's competitive. Of course, you know, we're all competing. Those are some great guys. You know, Bill, X, J. Full, got JT, Henry Black. There's a lot of us in that room, but, you know, we can control going out there every day, putting our best foot forward. You know, doing everything the coaches ask for us. And, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, things like depth chart and who's starting, who's not. You know, those sort of things that, you know, can mess your own head up mentally, you know, thinking about that. You know, and it's also something that we don't control as players. So I feel like we all have, you know, done a great job of embracing each other, no matter who's going out there first, who's going out there second, third, whatever. And, you know, just being a group of brothers, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a long season. And, you know, we all need each other in the room.
Talking with DeMarco Helms, whose journey, by the way, started Carl in D.C., played, everybody knows DeMatha for hoops, but you were a football player, and you were part of a Nick Saban recruiting class. What was your Alabama experience like, man?
Well, it was great, and I feel like DeMatha prepped me, you know, hard coaching, competitive, playing against national teams, things like that. Definitely prepped me for the culture of Alabama. You know, Saban was a great coach to play for. He was real demanding, but I feel like that was something that helped me in my NFL career, you know, just to not feel the pressure of being in the NFL as much. You know, I feel like Alabama was something that, you know, wasn't the NFL, of course, but, you know, it was kind of operated as, you know, somewhere where the NFL was expected, you know, as the next step for a lot of guys. So I feel like Alabama helped me just being prepared on the NFL playbook. Some guys that I faced in the NFL, you know, I played with in college, played against in college. And just playing under Nick Saban, I feel like it gave me, you know, a mindset of, you know, just that I've been through the toughest of the toughest coaches. I've been through the toughest of the toughest schedules. So anything that somebody throws at me is, you know, it's on a different scale, but it's something that I've probably seen before.
Bama boys and these Georgia boys talk a little noise, man. Jalen, you guys, you talk a little bit or not yet?
I mean, we do a little bit of talking, but nobody in this locker room got a winning record against us.
Against Alabama, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. I still got the edge a little bit, though.
All right.
I want to ask you one last thing. Tomorrow, you can go live. You blowing somebody up?
I'm going to do whatever Rod tells us.
DeMarco, appreciate you.
Thank y'all.
That is DeMarco Helms there on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great stuff from him, and looking forward to see him lay the boomstick in regular season games coming this fall. Hey, a reminder, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each and every Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after each Falcons game, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, by the way, hosted by yours truly. How about that? It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up next, let's hear from one of our defensive tackle stalwarts, David Onyemata. Join Andy and Randy. We'll let you hear that conversation with the big fella coming up next to kick off the 8 o'clock hour.